Viva la Paris.
Welcome to Rebalancing Act. We are Leslie Ann Saint-Amour and Kieran Waterhouse. We know climate change is here and that Canada has to solve it. So join us every second Friday for a discussion about climate solutions.
So hey, Kieran.
What's up? How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm good. What was your favorite? Did you watch a lot of the Tokyo Olympics? What was your favorite sport?
Ooh, I don't know what my favorite sport was. My favorite event to watch was the women's 800 meter sprint because a girl I went to elementary school with was racing, as well as another woman from my hometown. And so that was kind of exciting. Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that women really carried the day with this last Olympics.
Absolutely. And I mean, I also always love watching the swimming and the diving, and seeing like our Canadian women in the swimming was amazing. They killed it.
They did. I love the pure efficiency of the swimming. You sit down for an hour and you watch back to back to back. It's highly efficient.
It's amazing. Ugh. It just like makes me nostalgic for my high school swim team days where I was nowhere near as good as any of these women. But I was like, ah, yes, I too used to be able to lounge around in a pool for hours on end. I miss that.
I didn't know that. It's also, you know, it's all about the love of the sport.
Oh, yeah. What about you? Did you have any favorites?
I think the swimming for me, too. It was awesome.
Yeah. And, like, the diving and the British diver who the whole time was knitting a sweater.
Well, Tom Daly.
Watching other people dive. Yes, Tom Daly. Loved it. Big fan.
He was great. That was a big deal for him, getting his first gold. I think he'd had a lot of media expectation for a few Olympics.
Yeah, and I think it was well-deserved.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh my God, the high jump when they decided to share the medal.
Yes.
Oh. Oh. Too good. It reminded me there is good in the world.
Take me under the hood of the Olympics. What did it look like for sustainability?
So I'm going to apologize in advance. I think it's inevitable that I'm accidentally going to call it the Tokyo 2021 Olympics, because I know they're the 2020, but obvious it happened in 2021, and I just feel like I'm going to get that wrong at some point, which forgive
we'll
me in advance. And so I thought it was really cool that the Tokyo Olympics were working to be the most sustainable Olympics. They were working towards using renewable energy as much as possible, trying to be zero carbon. They were really focusing on reduce, reuse, recycle, trying to be zero waste. You may have heard about the cardboard beds that were in the athletes' village, which, while there was a rumor that it was meant to discourage any fraternization, shall we say, as an effort to promote social distancing, it was confirmed that that is not accurate. And it was simply so that the beds could then be recycled.
Good to know.
You know, and if they did perform more than one purpose in being cardboard, you know, I'm not going to complain. But the official statement is that it was not to prevent any funny business.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also work done to focus on having a sustainable sourcing code for all the procurement and for licensed products coming from the Olympics, as well as a focus on kind of within the city contributing to the natural environment and biodiversity and having nature within the city and kind of green space. So there was a lot of different avenues that the Tokyo Olympic Committee was working on to make Tokyo the most sustainable Olympics.
Interesting.
Was kind of successful in some ways. Unfortunately, they were not the most sustainable Olympics. Not even the most sustainable Olympics in recent history. I feel like it's really hard to compete.
I feel like it's hard to beat the original Greek ones for sustainability.
Yeah. Yeah, the OG, like that, not much we can do about that. So there was the collection of 4.38 million tons of carbon credits to offset the emissions, which occurred over the course of the event, which is good and bad. We've talked about how carbon credits and offsets don't really prevent emissions from happening, but, mm-hmm. you know, it's better than nothing. And actually, the credits were worth more than 150% of the total carbon emissions. So you could argue, in some ways, they were carbon negative. But mm-hmm. again, emissions still happened. While it's great that only 20% of the venues had to be built from scratch, a lot of the events took place in places that were already existing and where there was retrofits needed to make them operational for these Olympics. They were attempted to be done sustainably. Unfortunately, the Rainforest Action Network has reported that much of the plywood that was used in the stadiums was being sourced from rainforests in Indonesia that were being replaced with palm oil plantations, which are not as sustainable and which are not are more ecologically destructive. And it's unclear whether that kind of after the fact result was incorporated into some of the Olympic organizers' sustainability analysis.
Mm-hmm.
And so this does lead Tokyo to rank below the 2014 Sochi Games and the 2016 Rio Games in terms of sustainability. Actually, nope, I need to rephrase that. The only games which ranked below Tokyo were the 2014 Sochi and the 2016 Rio Games. Other games in recent memory have been, such as Vancouver, have been London, have been more sustainable.
Interesting. So they're really getting, it feels like there's a trend of becoming less sustainable in very recent memory.
There absolutely is, actually. A study was done the first study on this issue was done around 2013, and even since then, it's been found that while Vancouver was the first Olympic Games to explicitly promise to be sustainable in their bid to host the Games, the sustainability of the Olympics Games has been on a downward trend ever since. With the Games before Vancouver, the Games before a promise to be sustainable, actually having better sustainability statistics.
Yeah. I have a little bit of a bone to pick with the International Olympic Committee, or IOC, on a few points.
It's a pretty
opaque international organization, I'd say, and that extends to the way that it decides who's going to host. You know, yeah, it's great if people are saying that they're going to be sustainable in their bids, but if that doesn't become a factor in deciding who's going to actually get the bid, then I don't know how relevant that is. The other thing is that for the last few Olympics, there have actually been very few places that are willing to submit bids, which just has led to trends of less democratic countries being the ones to host because they are the countries that are also willing to, you know, do those bids. And I think it's interesting, like, hearing all of this, what comes to mind for me is that I would bet you that if an Olympics costs less, it will also be more sustainable because you're also just building less stuff. You know, you can build stuff in the most sustainable way and everything, but in my mind, the more that you can reuse existing facilities and infrastructure, the more, because all of that money, it's going towards constructing. I think most of it,
a lot of it, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good point. And I think to me, it kind of gets at, like, can the Olympics be sustainable the way we conceive of them right now? If inherent in any bid to host the Olympics is this idea of building bigger and better stadiums or, you know, retrofitting a stadium to the point where it's not recognizable, you know, can we have Olympics that are sustainable?
Yeah.
I mean, Tokyo did only have to build 20% of its facilities. And so that does kind of make me wonder, you know, even with retrofitting, with reusing, you know, can we be sustainable? And I was really surprised when I found out Tokyo wasn't more sustainable, because I had a lot of hope in, I guess, new technology, new building materials, all of those things, in letting them be pretty sustainable. So where do you think we go from here?
I think you have to think of the Olympics in two ways. There are two separate ways. There's Olympics as sporting event, and there's Olympics as spectacle. And I think the Olympics as sporting event, and even to some extent as spectacle and a celebration of sporting, really can continue to go forward and to exist. But maybe the Olympics as country self-promotion needs to be scaled back. I wonder with Japan specifically too, because Japan uses a lot of coal in its own energy mix. That would inherently make any energy used towards going towards this Olympics less sustainable. Whereas if you're in a country where everything is electrified using renewables, that'll just mean that the overall carbon emissions are lower. But beyond that, the trend of the IOC actually receiving fewer bids might be an opportunity for reinvention, because a big part of it is that cities recognize they're not going to make their money back, and so it's not worth bidding huge amounts. And if, you know, if there is a certain correlation between the amount of money spent on an Olympics building new facilities versus and sustainability, I think cities wanting to spend less, wanting to make it less of a grand spectacle, and recognizing they don't necessarily see those returns environmentally or otherwise, might actually mean that cities' bids in the future and the way that bids are evaluated will have to change, because people don't want to continue doing it the same way. Yeah, having an expensive, unsustainable Olympics is not really a win for anybody except the IOC, I'd say, including the athletes.
I think you're right, because the Olympics are something that I don't think anyone wants to give up. But I think you're right in that the way they exist right now is going to have to change. Both, you're right, economically and sustainability-wise. And it's one of those things, I don't think they'll ever be totally carbon neutral. It's so, like, you know, people are traveling from around the world to come there. They're having to feed large numbers of people in a very dense area. I think it's hard to be able to manage those kinds of travel, supply chains, being 100% sustainable, at least in the near to mid future. And I kind of think that's okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think this is something that culturally is important to a lot of people. It's one of the few really international events that I think we see on a regular basis. And I think if we were to give something like this up for the cause of climate change and sustainability, I truly think it would do more harm than good. And I think that's something that people who talk about climate change and sustainability, we need to be more upfront about sometimes, because I think people think that we want to give up anything that isn't perfectly sustainable. But I want everything to be sustainable enough that we can afford these kinds of these things that have so much other value, we're willing to to spend a little bit of our carbon budget on it.
For sure.
But that's go ahead.
We don't want to be going back to the pre-industrial times in the sense of our limiting our movement and stuff like that. It's really asking ourselves, what is the cost-benefit analysis? Most of the Olympics, the actual sporting event, I think the people coming together and even just the international diplomacy element that the Olympics presents, it's all pretty valuable.
Totally.
It's really about asking, are giant stadiums needed otherwise? There was something really sad, especially because of COVID, about seeing the huge stadiums that were built in Tokyo with nobody in them. And also knowing that a lot of the time when Olympic stadiums are built, they don't actually get used afterwards because no one is hosting an event that needs, you know, no one's hosting swimming events where so many people are going to come watch. So I actually think that, like, also TV, you know, the internet does help show that you can still broadcast the Olympics and people can still see it even if they aren't there in the stadium.
I think that's really true. And I actually kind of wonder if that's where more of the, where we'll see more economic return for countries rather than, you know, tourists coming to watch the Olympics in person. I think there's a lot that can be done in terms of broadcasting and streaming rights. And this is, this can be controversial because I'm also not saying that, you know, I think people should be able to watch the Olympics at a in a reasonable way in any country. But I think there is something to be said for, you know, who are you selling ad time to? Who are the sponsors of the broadcasting? That can bring in some of that economic development that countries are seeking when they host the Olympics that they may not be getting in person.
For sure. The Paris Olympics and the way that they're set up, so Paris is hosting the Summer Olympics in 2024, will actually be a big difference because I think they're planning on using, even to a greater extent, this things that are already built, 95% existing or temporary venues. So I think it is funny, you know, there are two ways to always see the sustainability, and as people that are consuming the Olympics, there are two things to keep in mind, because the Olympics are going to keep on happening, you know, thought experiment aside, and I'm going to keep on watching them because they're really fun and entertaining. So I actually think this really does mirror a larger environmental debate too. The extent to which you use new technologies versus the extent to which you try and consume less. And it sounds like the Tokyo Olympics really went down the route of using new innovative technologies, using cardboard, using technologies that cost, you know, less energy to produce. Whereas going forwards, also, we're going to have to see the quote-unquote cutting back, the reusing, the sort of frugality approach almost as well. And I think together a combination of that plus using new innovative technologies will be successful. But it's good to remind ourselves that building stuff out of cardboard doesn't actually help if, you know, there are other ways to avoid building it in the first place.
Totally. And you mentioned thought experiment. When I was getting ready for this episode, my brain went down a really funny rabbit hole of thinking about how would we change the Olympics to be more sustainable. And I've had this conversation with actually my personal trainer before about the Olympics and about how in some Olympic sports, you can really see the origin relating to either, you know, warfare or the hunting gathering lifestyle to a degree, in the sense of like, it makes sense why we want to know which human can run the fastest. Mm-hmm. It makes sense jumping hurdles.
The hurdles. I'm so glad I don't have to jump hurdles in my day-to-day life. I'd be so bad at it.
I know. He always really liked the example of the high jump because, you know, he's like, it's literally who can get over the wall to attack someone on the inside. Like, that has to be how that started.
Interesting.
So I was thinking about, if we wanted to change the Olympics to focus more on sustainability, would you create new Olympic events? Would you change any Olympic events to be focused more on a sustainability mindset and a sustainable future? One of the ones I was thinking about is, you know, we have cycling in the Olympics, but, you know, can there be a focus on the framework of like street cycling in terms of carbon neutral transit? Or, you know, there's thinking about how certain, for example, words are escaping me, certain field events of like track and field in terms of the discus or the shot put, is there one that could kind of mimic the actions of like tree planting, the digging a hole, dropping a weight kind of movements? Can we create that, turn that into some sort of athletic endeavor?
I like the creativity.
Can you think of any? Thank you.
I feel like these would all be extreme endurance sports, the tree planting.
Oh my God. I love it. I don't know. And like, I mean, there was a really morbid train of thought I went down where it was like, ooh, should there be some kind of event of like swimming related to flooding and sea level rising? And that I had to stop going down that train of thought because it was becoming very Hunger Games like.
I also don't think that that's true. I mean, when you talk about climate events, the biggest predictor of whether someone's going to survive them is whether they know people in the community. It's not about individual athletic endeavors. That's funny because to me, like, these things don't actually, like, climate and sustainability is such a collective endeavor. And on some level, I feel like individual athletic achievement is almost like, it's not counterintuitive to that. I think it's also excellent. It just is very different in terms of its goals. Does that make sense?
It does, but it's interesting to me because I see the sports and the Olympics and what we choose to kind of celebrate and prioritize a reflection of societal priorities. And totally. So, for example, with the inclusion of skateboarding in the Olympics, it was kind of a win for a lot of folks in terms of what was often seen as a more urban, lower class pastime that wasn't elite enough for the Olympics is now in. And that's really exciting and it represents a societal shift. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it'd be really interesting to see something that had kind of a sustainability origin simply because it might represent some of that cultural shift in the way we think about sports and like and think about culture.
Totally. That makes a lot of sense. Listeners, tell us if you think of any sustainability Olympic sports. Maybe we also need the sustainability Olympics themselves. Another cool thing about the Olympics and just about organized things like this, I feel like a lot of like, you know, you get this critical mass of excitement and like wanting to do things and wanting to change things. It's almost why like conferences are really good. So I do think the more that you can use the opportunity in terms of, you know, I do think it's important to not overbuild the Olympics, but even in terms of the technology side, maybe the Olympics would be a really great place for a city to try something really innovative in terms of its own sustainability efforts, you know? It gives people a goal to work towards. It makes an impact. It's a branding exercise for the city. Like, I do think in terms of hosting the Olympics, yeah, it is an opportunity to think big and bold.
Well, that has me thinking about like World Fair and like Expo, when part of what was happening was displays of, you know, new technologies, of new and exciting things. And I feel like that is something you could bring into the idea of the Olympics out as being when everyone is here, when we are hosting all these different nations, we're also going to be putting on display this new technology or this new practice and displaying that to the world as well. Because that is something that we used to do. And I think it's really cool.
I think thinking big and bold as solutions to the climate crisis and also as reasons to celebrate as a community are both excellent.
I agree. I think that might be a good spot to end.
Yeah. Here, let me read what the Paris, you know, we always need to interrogate things and know whether they're greenwashing or whether it's actually changing. But I appreciate the boldness of this rhetoric. On the Paris 2024 website, looking to the future, they say, in the face of the greatest challenge humanity has ever known, Paris 2024, the body organizing the world's largest event, is stepping up to its responsibilities. I feel like we can all carry forward and we should all be carrying, you know, that kind of, it's a combination of responsibility and also opportunity to have the Olympics be great in so many ways.
Yeah, I really like that. And I think there's a part of me that is kind of like, I really hope the world is really watching Paris because it's also the home of the Paris Accord. Mm-hmm. And so I just feel like we already associate it in some ways with climate change. And I think it could be really great. And I hope it is.
Me too.
Viva la Paris.